Open your Bibles today to Matthew 21, and let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Matthew 21, verse 1. Well, you go back to Revelation here about a week after next. We're gonna stop for the Easter sermon. Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughters of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. Again, we praise you and we honor you. Father, God, there's not enough words to thank you enough, Lord God, for what you have done in the lives of the people in this church, Lord God, and in our lives, Lord, the blessings that you give each and every one of us, Father. Father, we thank you for, Lord, this time of the year that we celebrate, Lord God, this holy week, Lord God, until, God, next Sunday, Lord God, we know that you arose from that grave, Lord. And Father, we celebrate today as you coming in to show the people that you were the king, Lord God. And Father, I pray that people realize today more than anything, God, that Palm Sunday, Lord God, Easter, Lord, I just pray that they would realize, God, that you're still the king, Lord God. And Father, that one day you're going to return, and one day they're going to go before you, Lord God. And Father, still as the blood was mopped on the doors of the children of Israel, Lord God, in Egypt, Lord God, they got to have that blood on their heart, Lord God, to be able, Lord God, to go to heaven, Lord. And Father, I pray that if nothing else happens here today, Lord God, that people would come to you, Lord God, that we would pray and, Father, just celebrate your life this week, Lord God, and try to get closer to you. Again, I pray, Lord, for one here that doesn't know you, that they make this their day, Lord God. And Father, you say today is the day of salvation. Father, I pray that you'd just speak through me and let me stand back and get out of the way, Lord God. And Father, just bless your people. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Very familiar passage. Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. And the word says again, "Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and bring him to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately will send them." And we know that the disciples went into the town and they got the donkey. And Jesus rode into town, rode into Jerusalem on this donkey. There's a few things I want to point out today. And I don't know where the Lord's going with this, but we'll know in a little bit. But anyway, and the word says here in Zechariah 9:9 is what it is referring to, where in verse 5 it says, "Tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then if you go to Zechariah chapter 9, the word says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey." You see, there's something that in Zechariah and in Matthew that was left out there, and that was that rejoice that you see up there. In Matthew 21, they leave out rejoice. Why is that? The reason is Jesus Christ was coming into town on that day, and he was going to a different place than he'd ever been before. As a matter of fact, Jesus had been up until that date, probably, he had never entered this gate. And this was the gate that he was coming in the city of Jerusalem was the Golden Gate. And he had normally, and he had been there two times prior to this. And every time he went, he would go into the Sheep's Gate. And the sheep gate is where the traders and the village people would come in. But the golden gate is where kings came in. That's where people that were of stature came in. That's where the Roman soldiers come in. They would come in that golden gate. In 1969, that gate was sealed up. And there will never be another king come into that gate until Jesus comes and he tells us that he is going to come in to that golden gate. And so the people, much like the people today, are there. Jesus is coming into town. They have saw all the things he had done. He's healed the blind. Lazarus has come from the grave. He's made the cripple walk. He healed people with leprosy. He's done all the good things. And these people, these Jews that are standing along the roadside, are throwing the palm branches out, and they said they'd even take tree limbs and crush them. They were praising him because he was their king, but they thought he was coming that day to settle it all, to get on the throne. It was going to all be okay. And only a few hours later, when Jesus went to the garden and was praying, when he told his disciples to pray, some of those same people were in the mob that came to arrest him because they didn't know who he was. And so I submit to you today, there's a lot of people in this world that we live in that knows Jesus. They know his name. They know who God is, but they really don't know him and why he's here or why he came. You see, Jesus came into this world to save the world, and these people were looking for a Savior. And that's the reason that I got to studying this yesterday. I was sitting out in the backyard on the patio. It was a beautiful day. In about 6 hours, I read over this and studied different places in the Bible. But it said he omits this rejoice because in Jesus' heart, he was not rejoicing because he knew what was fixed to take place. Let's look at Luke 9, 41 and 42 right quick. And Luke 9, 41 and 42, I'll find it here in a minute. We've got plenty of time this morning. I should have marked it, but I didn't. Let me find Luke 9, 41 and 42. Luke 9, 41 and 42 said, "Then Jesus answered and said, O Father, and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you, bring your son here?" And so Jesus was knowing that he was fixing to go in to his death. And it even says that Jesus wept again. You know, a lot of people say that Lazarus, Jesus wept because of people. He said, you know, this generation of people, they see me coming in and they don't know who I am. And the same thing is true today. There's a lot of people that know who Jesus is. They know that on Easter we have special dinners at the church and the preacher talks about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They know his name, but do they really know him? And these people really didn't know him. Some of them did and some of them didn't, but most of them didn't. And he says again, let's go to Zechariah. I like Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly. If there's something that you and I need to be doing this morning, is rejoicing greatly. You heard five or six people get up, and I'm glad you did. Hadn't done that in a long time. And rejoice because Jesus Christ has done something in their life. And I promise you this morning, if you're sitting in this church house this morning, you have a reason to rejoice. We need to rejoice because Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross at Calvary and he died for us. And because of what he did, what he went through, we are saved this morning. And he says again, rejoice greatly. Are you going to rejoice this week or are we going to worry about what we're going to eat for dinner next Sunday, what we're going to get for Easter clothes, what we're going to, the Easter basket for the kids? All of that stuff is just preliminary. It's nothing to it. The thing about it is what have you done in your life for Jesus Christ? He said, rejoice, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. And I will tell you again, as these people Zechariah was prophesying this in Zechariah chapter 9. And in Matthew, as we read, rejoice your king, or the king is coming. The one that is going to be the king, he is coming. Behold, your king is coming. I tell you, Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, whatever church you go to, whatever your belief is, Jesus Christ is coming to this earth again. And when he comes again, that golden gate that was sealed up in 1969 is going to bust open, and Jesus Christ is going to enter that holy city again, and this time not riding on a donkey, riding on a white horse, and he is going to establish his throne. The kingdom of God is going to be established because Christ is coming, and we need to be rejoicing. We need to behold. We need to know. It says, behold, your king is coming. He is just. What does it say he's just for? He is just having salvation. Having salvation. Do you have the salvation of Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know I say this every week, every time I get up here, and I'm going to continue to say it, because there's nothing else to preach except salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him this morning? It says, rejoice, rejoice, and behold, the King is coming. You know, we worry about all the things that's going on in this world. We're supposed to pay attention to this world, things that's going on. We have to live in this world. We have to work in this world. But the main thing to know in your life is, are you saved? It don't make any difference. Jesus said in John 6:33, where he says that, don't worry about the world. He said, put your faith in me because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And he says again, behold, the word says, Zechariah tells, behold, the king is coming. He is just having salvation, lowly riding on a donkey. Many thousand years before Jesus came into Jerusalem on his donkey that we're reading in Matthew, the prophet Zechariah put in the Bible that he was riding in on a donkey. And look what he says. And think about the world that we live in. Think about all the meanness, all the darkness, all the things that's going on in this world. Verse 10 says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to all nations. Having dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river to river to the ends of the earth. God is sending his son back here one day. Jesus Christ is going to come to earth. All the missiles that they got in the Soviet Union, all the missiles we got, all the missiles Japan's got, all the fighting machines, all the airplanes, all the things that's going on in this world, God is going to put a stop to every bit of that. And he is his son, Jesus Christ, is coming back to this world to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. He's coming through the golden gate. Jesus is coming. Why should we be happy this Easter? Why should we rejoice? Because Christ is coming. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, he's already established his throne. He's done everything that he said he'd do. He lacks one thing. And the only thing that he lacks, and we've been going through the book of Revelation, we'll continue to go through it till we get to the end. The only thing that he has not done is come back. And he's going to do that. That's the only promise that he has not fulfilled. He is coming back to this earth. And so we need to, and these people are standing along the side of the street and they're looking to the king. And finally, some of them, after, it's kind of like, it reminds me, and this is the Lord talking, right? We come to church today. We come to church this Easter Sunday. We rejoice. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the things he's done. These people were lying in the streets. One church that I had, my kids still remember it because the elderly ladies had a Sunday school class. And they got palm branches. And after the church started, after I got up, they come running down the aisles with palm leaves hollering, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And my kids were little and it scared them to death. And there's not Easter goes by, my kids don't tell. You remember when Sister Mary and them come down the aisle hollering, he's alive, he's alive. Well, these people were hollering, he is king. The king has come. They were throwing the palm branches down. They were praising him. But in a little while, the disciples and him went to the garden. Jesus went into the garden and was praying. And he told the disciples, he said, y'all stay right here and pray. I'm going to go over here and pray. And he come back three times and had to wake them up. He was sweating drops of blood because he saw what you and I were going to do in our lives. And he had to go to that cross for us. But those people that lined the street and was hollering and praising him was gone. People, today in the church community, whatever you want to call it, the established religion that we have in this world, many, many people are shouting and praising and praising and singing these big songs that they sing nowadays, doing all the things that they do. And when they walk out of the church house this afternoon, they'll live like hell the rest of the week and come back next Sunday praising again. You see, what we need to do is establish a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And know that He is our Lord. And once we do that, all that other stuff becomes complacent. All that other stuff is nothing to us because Jesus is number one. In verse 6 in Matthew 21, he says, so the disciples went and did as he commanded them. They brought the donkey and the coat, laid the coat on them, and set the king on them. Think about that. They set Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that created you, that breathed life in your breath, that gave you your first heartbeat, that put the blood in your veins. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, sat on a donkey and went into the Golden Gate of Israel. If you read the book of John, and we've been going through it on Wednesday night, it tells about how Jesus is coming to establish everything that his Father wanted him to do. And we see that how the rulers and how the leaders hated this. Can you imagine what they thought, that this Jesus that claimed to be the king was coming through the gate, the golden gate that was set aside for kings and royalty? This Jesus was coming through there? And the people are praising him and shouting, and they knew they had a problem. It says in Luke, I believe, that they shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. They were praising his name. Right down verse 9, it says, the multitude who went before those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And verse 10 says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Do you know who this morning? Do you know who Jesus is? Who is this that I am talking about? Who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And right now today, in Jerusalem, right now today in this world, in this country that we live in, a lot of people believe, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and it goes back to what I have already said. We praise him, we shout for him, we lift up his name, we say who he is, we know what he went through, we know what he done, but do we really know him? You ever talk about that? I heard a pastor say, the pastor's first Baptist died. I can never think of his name. I talked to him other night when he was at Rhonda's visitation. But anyway, he was preaching Brother Tommy's brother's funeral, and he gave an illustration. It made more sense to me than anything. And it was when Donald Trump was president. And you can say Joe Biden if you like. It don't make no difference to me. But you know who Joe Biden is, right? There ain't nobody here that don't know who Joe Biden is. Nobody. But do you know him? Can you pick up the phone and call and say, hey, Joe, I need some help down there? A lot of people know Jesus. They know who he is. They know he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. They know that he came in the triumphal entry. He came into the city riding a donkey. They know they put him on a cross. They know that he died, and they know that they say that he rose again. But do they know him? Can you make contact with him? Jesus said, you're mine, I know you, I'll love you to the day you die. And all you got to do is say, Lord. All you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is ask him. But there's so many people today, just like these people back then, who shout, Hosanna, the Son of God. They put on shows. They throw the stuff in the street, the blankets and the burlap sacks and the palms. And they do all the things they're supposed to, that they want the world to see, but do they know Jesus? And that's my question to you this morning, isn't it? Do you know who Jesus is? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know who he is? Can you call him and talk to him? Yeah, you can. But does he know who you are when you call him? You see, you've heard about our president. You know him. But do you know him? Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know who he is? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. In John 14. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. And so I ask you this morning as we celebrate this Easter week, as we continue our celebration, the Holy of Holiest Weeks start today, started this morning. Do we know him? Do we know who that Jesus is that walked in the street that day, that got on that donkey, that sat on that burlap sack, that rode in the town, that they praised, that went to that garden, that 10 or 12 hours later was arrested and drugged from court to court, was nailed to a cross, was beaten, gave his crown, this thorn for your salvation, the nails in his hand. He bled and died for you, and praise God. That's not the end of the story, because he arose from that grave and he went to heaven to prepare a place for it. And one day he is going to come again. Do you know that Jesus this morning? Do you know him? Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning and I praise you. And God, I honor you and I love you, Lord. And God, I just thank you, Father, for speaking to us this morning, Lord God. And Father, letting us know, Lord God, we need to praise you. We need to honor you. We need to rejoice, Lord God. But you wasn't rejoicing on this day, Father, because you knew that what you had to do for your Father, that you knew what you had to do for us. And Father, I praise you, Lord God. And as I pray this morning, as everybody in this auditorium will stand on their feet right now, God, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they find their way to you today, Lord God, and they come. God, and they get down on their knees right here. I pray that if Christians are here, Lord God, that want to just spend a little time with you, Lord God, that they start out this Holy Week by getting on their knees in your church, Lord God, this morning and praising your name, Lord. Father, I pray right now as we pray this song of invitation, Lord God, that if people would just see, God, that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, Lord, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, God, if they know that you're going to lead them one day. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. In your precious name we pray.